Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Wendy's new Biggie Deals lets you choose whatever you're in the mood for. It's like a music mixing board of deals, and you're the producer. Go with some chill folk music with a JBC in the $4 Biggie Bite snack. Try the drum and bass of deals with a double stack in the $6 Biggie Bag. Or go full-on sandwich symphony with an $8 Biggie Bundle, the grand finale of snacking. And the best part? They all come with napkins! $4, $6, and $8 Biggie Deals how you want them. At Wendy's.
Price and participation may vary. Single items at regular price. Prices may be higher in Alaska, California, and Hawaii.
Back like we never left.
Which we didn't. We've been here all along.
Listen, the end of the year and the holiday season was a lot for all of us.
We took a little holiday break.
But we're back and better than ever.
I kind of missed this, though.
Yeah, I was getting the itch again. Not that I don't always have the itch, but it's just, we can't put out a podcast for the holidays. Who are we?
It's hard to schedule these things.
It's okay.
In December. But new year, new pod.
New year.
New year, same pod.
Same us.
Welcome back to Smell You Later, your favorite podcast, period.
I do feel like, although the holidays are slow for fragrance, but big for like fragrance launches or sets or whatever, I do feel like there's been a lot of new shit coming out lately.
It does. I feel like maybe it's like a Q4 to Q1 thing.
Maybe.
But I feel like I've seen a lot of previews, press previews for fragrance set releases.
Yeah.
I don't know. Everyone's going really hard at fragrance this year.
I mean, it is certainly not slowing down. I suppose good for us.
Yeah. Send it to us. Oh my God. I got a text from my perfumer and because I hadn't heard from him for a while. Mm-hmm. And then he was like, stay tuned. Smells are coming soon.
Oh my God.
And I was like, oh yeah, I was just about to harass you about that. Like, what's going on? They take a while. You got to let them sit.
Right.
Got to let them cook.
Macerate.
Yeah. But I'm excited for that.
What is that process like? How many is he submitting to you?
I think we talked about going up to 6 mods.
Oh.
Which is reasonable, yeah. I think.
But one fragrance and 6 mods of it.
Yeah. And I don't think it's like automatically 6. I think it's if I want to tweak things, you can edit up to 6 times, basically.
Okay. Smart.
Which makes sense.
I'm excited to smell.
I would also love to. I shall soon.
Well, that's really exciting. Can you talk about it at all? I know that you mentioned some things about it.
Yes. I feel like it was like November, but I feel like it was so long ago. Yeah. We had the meeting. I brought over a bunch of references of what I liked about this scent, what I liked about that scent. I just brought over like a Glossier pouch full of samples. Mm-hmm. And then we just talked about them, went through them and smelled some raw materials. So at this point, I'm like, what did I even say? Mm-hmm. I don't even remember. We'll see. Maybe, you know what? Maybe we'll do like a future episode with him.
Oh, totally.
I think that'd be really cool.
Yeah, I feel like we're going to do a whole,
yeah.
I don't know, not we can do whatever the fuck we want. It's our show, but series around it. I have some great ideas about shows around Sable's book launch. And I'm sure that we'll have a little bit of a package for that. I'm so excited.
I finally have a book cover.
Yes, you do. It's the one you sent me, right?
Yes.
Yes, that's really good.
I'm so happy with how it turned out after so much teeth pulling. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that was, I was worried.
The process was slightly harrowing.
Yeah.
For no reason.
Yeah.
For no reason.
Odd.
I don't know why, but
the cover is fucking fire though.
Yeah. I'm really happy with how it turned out. I don't know when you announced that shit or whatever.
Are you done with the edits?
Yes.
Are they done with the edits?
They are done.
Crazy.
Yeah. I remember my agent who, she was on leave for her wedding and honeymoon. She just called me out of the blue this week. She never calls me or texts me. Like, we don't really, we have like a strictly business relationship. Mm-hmm. And she just called me, and as soon as I picked up, she was goes, oh my God, this cover is stunning.
Oh, good.
Because she like hadn't looked at her emails for the past 2-3 weeks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So she's like, I'm so glad they finally got it right. Oh. And I was like, woo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can never call anyone out of the blue. That's against the law.
Anytime if I see her name on my phone, I'm like, what's wrong?
Yeah.
What's happening?
Right. What did I do?
Yeah.
God.
What disaster has befallen us?
Right, right.
Oh, yeah.
That's so funny.
Anytime I see a person I don't talk to regularly, every time I see their name on my phone, I'm just like, oh no.
Yeah.
going on.
Well, I just don't pick up period.
Or that.
You know?
Yeah.
Makes it easy for everyone.
Have you, Tynan, and you, the listeners, noticed something about around New Year's or New Year's Day? All of these people come out of the woodwork. All these random ass people texting you Happy New Year. And I'm like, where were you the rest of the year? Or like, I thought we had implicitly agreed that we're no longer speaking.
Yeah. I didn't really experience that this year, which is good because it would make me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I talk to who I talk to, and yeah, that's great.
It's really weird because I'm just like, I don't want to be like, I'm like, I don't dislike this person, but I don't wish to start up a rapport. So to be polite, I'll just say Happy New Year back, and that's it.
And that's it.
And then they'll follow up with something else. I'm like, no.
Yeah.
You get one a financial quarter, one text. Person I met on Hinge 2 years ago.
Oh, no.
It's like stuff like that.
Absolutely not.
It's, yeah, it's like people who are completely out of my social circle.
Yeah. People I feel get, and maybe myself included, like I actually really like New Year's, as corny as it sounds. I do feel like people get in their feelings, both good and bad, around New Year's. Yeah. And everyone, it's like you're tired and exhausted and hungover from the holiday, and then you have New Year, New You energy, and it's just, it makes you do weird shit.
I feel like New Year's Eve is like the messy, chaotic energy, and then New Year's Day is the optimistic, like, I'm gonna start anew. I'm gonna get it together and do all that stuff. Even though I'm like, you are setting yourself up for failure.
Yeah.
You have to trick yourself into achieving your goals little by little. Otherwise, it will just be too daunting.
Yeah.
And you won't do them. Do you have any resolutions?
Oh, man. I am one of those people that's like, I don't make resolutions. I just try to get better all year, et cetera. But last year, I think I went into it being like, I have a couple of things that I want to do, and I have a couple of changes I want to make. Mm-hmm. And they all happened, which is really cool.
Cool.
But it's also
new,
like,
job.
Yeah.
New apartment.
Yeah. That wasn't part of the fucking plan. Okay. But yeah, new apartment.
Sure.
But it's like, be careful what you wish for.
Mm.
I'm very much in that space right
oh,
now.
No.
And no, it's good. It's okay. Good. It's very good. But I got exactly what I wanted and more. And now I have to live with that.
Yeah. I always think that like the perfect karma is getting exactly what you want. Mm. And then that's how you know.
Yeah. It's going to be a big year. It's going to be a very hard year, but I feel it a very good year.
Mm.
Yeah. What about you?
I'm going to try to move more. I think I just don't move that. I'm very sedentary.
Sure.
And then as soon as I got this rug in my living room, I no longer do YouTube Pilates and YouTube yoga because I just don't want to move the rug to put my mat down. I can't. When did I get this rug? September August?
Yeah.
So I haven't done anything for several months, and I feel like it's very bad for my health. But I'll go on walks.
Now that I work from home, and I suppose now that I don't work for Equinox, I have to be intentional in the way that I was not about movement.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it's not.
Yeah,
even
you can't just go to your employer section gym.
Or really even leave the house if I don't fucking want to. So that is, I mean, I obviously walk a lot, whatever, but I need to be more at it. But there's this Pilates place that is right by me. It's my favorite type of Pilates, and it's really affordable for what it is.
Which one is it?
I've been doing that. It's East River Pilates.
Oh, there's one by me too.
There's four, and there's they're like by everyone. It's so.
Maybe I'll do that. I have to findom myself into working out. I have to pay for the expensive Pilates, and I won't miss it because I'll be like, that's $60.
This one is only $35, and it's the
that's not bad. The reformer.
Yeah.
Oh, whoa.
I know. It's a fucking steal.
Yeah, that's really good.
When I was in Madison, I was paying out the fucking ass for it.
Damn. But, why is reformer Pilates so expensive?
Because it works.
But you could just buy the machine.
Yeah, but then the machine is
that's true.
So
it's
expensive.
Pretty big.
But yeah, I also, every year, I want to get more flexible.
Mm.
And I never do because I hate yoga.
Yeah.
But
you got to yoga that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have to move more for my health. I also want to try and eat less processed foods. I'm not like I do not have the self-discipline to do a diet.
Mm.
It just doesn't work. I cannot give myself any cheats. It has to be extremely regimented, or else if you give me a little bit of leeway, I will take that so far. But I'm like, you know what? I think maybe eating less processed food is probably a good idea, which just means eating more real food.
Okay.
That came from a plant.
You make a lot of soups.
I do that maybe once. Every quarter.
Oh. I thought it was more.
But I make a lot, so it lasts a lot. I don't know. I should do that more. I should make more soup. I don't know. I watched all these Blue Zone documentaries, and now I'm like, oh my gosh.
What's a Blue Zone documentary?
There's like five places in the world where people live till 100, but without dementia or a lot of disability. They're very healthy, and they live really long. So this one dude just did a lot of research and was like, why are these people living so long? What are they doing? And they're not working out. They're not doing fitness or anything that special. They're not biohacking, but they just live naturally active social lives. And then they eat real food. They don't eat junk food.
Imagine.
Yeah. They're like, so you just walk everywhere and you have your garden and you do your chores and you meet up with your friends, which you have in your old age. So it's okay. Number one, hang out with friends. Number two, walk places. Already do that. Cha-ching. Number three, eat less shit. Got it.
Got it. Yeah. I could probably do to drink less beer.
It's like drinking bread.
And I love bread.
Yeah.
My New Year's resolution, more liquor.
But that seems like more doable than being like, I'm going to lose so much pounds or get in shape. Yeah. What is shape? I am already in a shape.
I am a shape.
I am a shape already. Also, no one's going to see me. My wardrobe has been getting looser and baggier. So I'm just like, no one's going to look at this.
This is a double XL. Look who you're talking to.
Dude, as soon as I discovered big pants, I was like, why would anyone do anything else? I don't mean like sweatpants. I just mean like trousers. Yeah. Like wide leg trousers. I'm like, why would anybody
you
do
You really
I fucking love a trouser.
Pull off a wide leg trouser.
Yeah. There's so much space to just move around.
Well, you're a smaller person. And when you put on a bigger pant, you're just like a walking optical illusion, which I love.
Maybe that's it. It's like one of those really fluffy cats. And they get them wet. And they're yeah. Or like a Pomeranian. You get them wet and they're just like,
What do you think is going to be, I'm sure we talked about this last year, but now it's this year. What do you think is going to be big this year for fragrance?
Did we talk about this last year?
I'm sure.
Maybe a little bit.
30 different ways.
Gosh. I feel like fragrance is going to break out into more categories. And I'm not entirely sure what that means. Okay. I just feel like it's going to be like called out more in stuff that you wouldn't have previously thought of with fragrance. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Scented toothpaste or some shit like that.
Okay.
I don't know. I feel like just fragrance is going to infiltrate way more product categories.
Maybe on that same tip, I'm just saying the exact same thing a different way. I think we're moving away from thinking about fragrance as an irritant in skincare, which I know it can be to some people. That's valid. But I feel like there's just so much less talk about it right now. And I think that has to do a little bit with like clean beauty being on the decline, thank God. And like the consumer being a little bit more educated and literate with all of that. I think skincare and body are leaning more heavily into fragrance because of that's just my
It's just sense. Experiential.
Yes.
I feel like fragrance is just going to become so much more experiential. Mm-hmm. I hope there's more fancy house cleaning and like laundry detergent and like dish soap.
Yeah.
I would like more fancy dish soap.
Well, brands. The laundress is back.
Oh, they are.
I think, yeah.
Well, it was what? It was just like a tainted batch, right?
I don't know. I don't give a fuck. But something about it was a big enough problem that they had to pull it.
It was like bacteria.
Yeah. Something that can be
a spoiled batch.
Bacterial or something. Yeah. And as much of an LOL as that is, I'm sure that was a massive problem for them. And I do feel for them.
Waste a lot of merchant because it's just wasteful.
Especially when the whole MO of the company is. The exact, exactly that. Clean, safe, wah. Mm-hmm. And, but again, I don't take any joy in their downfall because that sucks for a lot of people. But
yeah.
I wish them the best. We should have them on the show. So what was it like?
I've never used their products, but they're fancy. That's all I know. Something John Mayer. Something.
I know that I will throw money at anything, but cannot bring myself to use designer laundry detergent. Be for fucking real.
No, I think I used... I'll use it if it's given to me.
Sure.
But I will not buy it.
I say that as if I have a washer dryer, which I famously do not, but...
Either way, you still got to do laundry.
That's true.
I'm using... What is it like? It was in like the Air Milkshake Suite from Marta.
Yeah.
It's like Dirty Labs.
Dirty Labs, yeah.
Yeah. It's one of those like enzymatic cleaners. But I bought this really unsexy... It's approved by the Asthma Association of America kind of like fragrance-free shit, which is fine.
Great.
It's fine. I don't need my laundry to smell like laundry because I'm going to just spray it with perfume anyway.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. I'm sure I've said this before, but last year, one of my favorite body things that I used was, and I hate to say this, but the Home Court Mint Hand Soap.
Oh, yeah.
The Courtney Cox line.
Yeah.
They made some points with that. Sorry.
Where? I haven't seen ads for it or anything.
I think it's D2C. We should have them on the show. Why not?
Yeah, we should. Who did Courtney Cox?
Courtney Cox, come on the show.
Sure.
Pull up. You did Los Angeles.
Oh. I feel like Los Angeles is like the celebrity beauty podcast.
I think so.
They get a lot of the celebs, which yeah. makes sense also because they're LA based.
Yeah. I love them.
Yeah.
Shout out to Los Angeles. Go turn them on. I wonder if Halsey is going to do a fragrance. And like, if they do, I demand that they come on the show because I love yeah. them.
Would they? I don't know if they would.
Maybe.
We'll see.
Their I'm PR always really
surprised.
Like,
at, yeah, I'm always surprised at who says yes and who doesn't to our show.
We get very few no's.
That's true.
Except the one that we got recently. And I was like, listen, you're not big enough to say no, but that's none of my business. But the About Face PR really likes me. So hopefully yeah. I can
okay.
finesse them.
Yeah. And they're like, what is the show? Who are you people?
Yeah.
Yeah. As far as like the mutual benefit. As far as the mutual benefit goes, I don't know. I feel like Los Angeles has had Halsey on.
They have.
Yeah, they have.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. Wow. Do we want to talk about the Sol de Janeiro spider bait?
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
Oh, you have that, right?
I have it. Can yeah.
Where's that?
It's in that green crate. Tell me if that's not one of the more subtle ones. Because I was smelling it and I was like, oh, this isn't choking me out. Cool. But then I was like, oh no, what if my sinuses are closing up again?
I mean, Solde and subtlety don't exactly.
Exactly. That's why I was like, right. this can't possibly be 59.
Curiosa 59.
Okay, 59 is Sol de Janeiro's newest scent. If you can believe.
It's a body mist, right?
There's a body mist and there's a body butter. It does smell quite similar to the Ilk. It's in the universe, the Sol de Janeiro universe.
You're right. It is a.
It's a little bit more subtle, right?
I think.
It's nice. I can wear that and not feel like I'm like. Choking the room out.
Yeah, I love the Sol de scents because of I just think they're fun, but yeah. they're always screaming at yeah. you. And I get that that's the point.
They
so
just
that's
like
fine.
Get in your mouth. You know?
Do you? Yeah, that's a perfect way to put it. Do you yeah. think this is lighter or less going on?
Maybe both.
Maybe both. It's pretty. It's inoffensive.
It's inoffensive. I feel like it's the most universally
yeah
appealing.
It's what's in it. I feel like it's like graham cracker, yeah? in a good way.
Okay, here's what they say. Share the warmth of sunset with uplifting notes of vanilla orchid, sugared violet, and sheer sandalwood.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That is like... Yeah.
Explains it pretty well. Nice. It's really nice, though. It's and really then nice. A listener had DM'd us, I think it was a Reddit thread, about how this scent, I think they specifically called out the body butter, not the spray.
Okay.
Was like, it attracted spiders. There's and apparently some... two of the ingredients in the fragrance formula were like ingredients, like... They mimicked spider pheromones.
Yeah.
They're like synthetic spider pheromones. So they attracted male spiders. And then a couple people are like, oh my God, me too. And I was like, why? Where are y'all living that there's so many spiders around?
Okay. But then do you know Javon Ford?
Yes.
Okay. King. We should have him on the show.
Yeah. He's awesome.
Would you be down?
I would totally
okay,
be down.
Okay. I'm going to reach out. Yeah. Javon Ford, if you don't know, he is a
cosmetic chemist.
Yeah. He's very big on TikTok and he, in a very fun way, debunk a lot of things yeah. from a chemistry perspective or does the opposite, just shows why things do work or why these two things might not work together from a, like a science perspective. It's yeah. very fun. Super smart. Really funny. He... did I hope I'm getting his pronouns right he did a TikTok on about
yeah
because
he said so many people were messaging
huh. and then he did debunk it but then yeah. he was like the same person who started all this a year prior said something else was attracting spiders so maybe they just needed a exterminator
yeah he's like maybe they just need to yeah that's a good point.
I have to tell you something. What? Do not let me forget. I can't tell you on the show because okay. it's yeah, but no, if you have Sol de Janeiro Chorosa 59 and it is attracting spiders, call in and let us know. Speaking of calling in, we have a voice note.
Hey there. I love the podcast. I listen to it every time it comes out. I have a question about perfumes or scents that have been discontinued. And if you have any that you're just desperate to find or to smell again, or maybe there's a perfume where the formulation has changed and so it just doesn't smell the same as you remember. So mine is Marissa Zappos and her limited release of Whore. It was one of the few that I purchased after listening to like the first Smell Your Later that you all had mentioned it. And I'm obsessed and I cannot find it anywhere. It's like it doesn't exist. Aside from the little small sample that I have. So would love to hear what you all are missing.
Oh my God, this ties in so perfectly with our question of every episode.
I know. We didn't even plan that.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of what I've said before, so don't say it again. Also, this entire room smells like soldier.
I know. Oh, my God. I feel like you said a Marc Jacobs scent.
Yes.
Yes.
Marc Jacobs decadence, yes. So I will not say that again.
And a Jean Varvatos scent.
Look at you.
I have such a good memory.
Damn.
Sometimes.
Can't even remember anything I said on the show.
I think just because you said it enough times that it's established object permanence in my brain.
That's fair. I think my answer then, so it is not that, is you go first.
Oh, no. The Estee Lauder.
Beyond Paradise. How do you know more about me than I do?
Because
you're in my brain. Yeah. What about you? What do you think?
Okay. I gotta think. Mine is what I smell like today, which is J.Lo Glow.
Oh.
And it had been in the back of my mind in the file of Y2K scents that I was obsessed with when I was a teenager. And then randomly, every couple months, I would get an email from Guilt Group that they were like a flash sale site originally. Mm-hmm. Now they're just a regular sales site, like discounted designer shit.
Yeah.
Because I apparently have a store credit with them. So they would be like, you have $28 store credit once in a blue moon. And then finally I was like at my computer. I was like, okay, fine. What do I need to spend to get you to stop emailing this?
Right.
So I just look at the fragrance section and then just scroll through the pages. And they had a box set of J.Lo Glow.
Wow.
It had a 3.4 100 milliliter bottle of the, I think it's an Eau de Toilette, not an Eau de Parfum.
Yeah.
And little 50 milliliter tubes of the body wash and lotion. It was $35 for the set.
Wow.
So I was like, cha-ching.
Yeah.
And as soon as I got it, it looks like the bottle looks the same.
That bottle is so iconic. Like
voluptuous frosted glass.
With the belly chain.
The belly chain. As soon as I sprayed it on, I was like, whoa. Because it was what I remembered, but like extremely not.
Huh.
In that I don't, obviously like I don't have that great memory recall of 20 plus years ago, but I don't remember it being as like soapy as it is.
Can I smell? Yeah.
Wow. It's like a bar of ivory soap. With orange blossom on top.
No, you're right. Yeah. That smells so soapy.
It smells exactly like soap. And I was like, I feel like in the past, I remember it being a little bit more musky.
Okay.
In the sheer cashmere sense.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was a little bit more sheer. It wasn't quite as like aldehydic.
Yeah.
Or soapy, whatever. Yeah. So I was a little disappointed because I was like, clearly, obviously the formula will have had to have changed since then because of regulations. But I also realized that the original release was with Coty. And then I think in 2015, another company, the brand moved it to a different company. Mm. So there's a different company manufacturing it now.
Mm.
So I'm sure it changed.
Okay.
I don't know how that works.
Neither do I.
But it changed a significant amount to the point where I remember it not smelling like this.
Wow.
Like when it came out in 2003.
Yeah.
But that was like literally 20 years ago. I guess 21 now. We're still in January, so probably still 20.
Yeah.
But still, I was like, damn. And it's like when it dries down, it's like a little nicer. But from the first spray, I was like, oh my God.
Right.
It doesn't smell. Maybe just my perception when I was a teenager was different because I was like, oh my God, this is so fancy. But now I'm just like, this smells like cheap teenage perfume.
Damn.
Yeah. And then, of course, my first thought was like to read the Fragrantica comments to see if like other people notice this too. And a lot of people were like, yeah, this is totally different. I don't remember it being like this soapy. So I was like, okay, good. I'm not crazy.
Yeah.
I have witnesses.
I think then to my point or to your point about my brain, and I'll keep it short because I talk about this all the time, but Estee Lauder Beyond Paradise for Men, which Luca Turn called the best men's fragrance ever, which is such a slay. It was just super beautiful, like sunny florals and fruit. Oh, it's so good. I should track down another bottle because I am actually very much running out of mine. And I know it's been long discontinued, but I don't care. If you can buy J.Lo Glow, I can buy this one.
Yeah. Unfortunately, this was not an original bottle.
Yeah.
This was a new manufactured bottle. I would have preferred the original bottle.
Yeah.
But sometimes I get in like a mood and I'll go on eBay and search for what are probably discontinued scents.
Oh, we know.
Yeah. And like a lot of them aren't actually discontinued. It's just like a different manufacturer. Surprisingly, Guilt Group has a lot of these.
Really?
Yeah. That's where I found Lolita Lempicka.
Right.
And Nina Ricci. But again, they're not technically discontinued.
Right.
They're just a little different. One discontinued perfume that I would love to track down is YSL Baby Doll. Mm. And that little, it looked like a pink crystal diamond.
Yep.
I teetered around.
Yep.
That I loved. I don't think I've seen that anywhere, but perhaps one day.
Perhaps one day.
They will.
I really want to track down John Varvatos Rock Volume 1. I don't think I ever smelled that, but I really, really want to. It's by this point.
Damn.
It was a very limited.
Yeah, I feel like it's really hard to track down flankers.
Yeah.
Like limited edition releases. Yeah. Then it's.
I mean, it was hard to get even then.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not just like a random flanker that, you know, fizzled out.
Yeah, I don't know what to do. It's like, do you like email the brand somehow and you're like, do you have any lying around a storage room, please? Maybe. I don't know. You have connects.
Wait, ask me what I'm wearing.
Tynan. What do you smell like today?
I smell like Vanilla Sex from Tom Ford.
Oh my God. I have been so curious about this one.
I feel like the girls have been talking about this one.
Yeah.
And I wrote about it for Nylon, so forgive me if I'm repeating myself, but also read my shit. But yeah, I will say that I don't know that it lives up to the name of Vanilla Sex. And it's Tom Ford. Is this a pun? Or is this you just trying to be Tom Ford with all your other nasty, dirty names? What are we going for here? But it has to be a pun, don't you think? Vanilla Sex.
I think it's a pun and also a descriptor. Is it a vanilla scent?
Yes, very much.
There you go.
And what's that?
I can't really smell things.
Oh, okay. There's also Sol Day in the air.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know that it pays off on the name Vanilla Sex, whatever that was supposed to mean, but I think it is a really solid vanilla fragrance. I think it's a little, I know, to me, because it's my opinion, it is more literal than I thought we were going to go with this, which is neither here nor there. It's just not the take that I expected, which does not make it bad. What it is very vanilla forward. It has a note of almond in it.
Ooh.
That really pulls through and gives it this brittle, nutty, boozy quality to it, which is a really nice accent to the vanilla. And I don't know, if you didn't tell me there was almond in it, I would clock a boozy note, but vanilla isn't in itself is boozy anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think this is more last year we saw, I mean, one, so many vanillas, but we saw the oft-mentioned Vanilla Era from Boy Smells. At the end of the year, we got Vanilla Powder, which are both really interesting, different takes on vanilla that I was really happy to see. And this is just sort of vanilla for the sake of vanilla, which is okay.
Wasn't it paired with a different vanilla scent?
They keep fucking
Vanilla Fatale.
Yeah, they keep
okay
re-releasing.
So it's like a set.
Their own
yeah
scent, and I keep saying I'm going to find out.
Wait, so Vanilla Sex is new.
New.
Vanilla Fatale existed already.
Re-release.
So maybe
yeah
what they're trying to do is release a new one and then be like, remember the old one.
And the old one's nice too.
It's like a 2-4.
Yeah. It's a much more like purple floral vanilla. Very velvety and plush.
I would
and
be
soft
interested to smell both of them, but they consistently ignore my emails. So
well, think of Tom Ford for not ignoring mine.
Yeah.
But this is definitely more along the lines of like Kaoli vanilla in that it's literal but just good.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say it wears like a Tom Ford scent in the good way. This will cling to you all day and still be there the next morning. And this is also the private blend collection or whatever the hell it's called.
The
so
expensive
it is not cheap. So
what are they, like $400?
It's like $395, I think, which is insane. But yeah, if I blind bought this for $400, it's all about expectation.
I think some people too, who aren't spoiled fragrance heads like us, have a different value perception when they buy fragrance. So
if I wanted this to be my everyday and I wanted it to be a vanilla scent, I'd be happy with it.
Yeah.
And I have gone back to a lot. It's just, I never know what to expect from Tom Ford for better or worse.
I think that's kind of a good thing that people don't know what to expect from a brand, because then there's always that immediate level of intrigue and curiosity. You're not just going to be like, oh, it's going to be like everything else.
Yeah.
That's cool. Vanilla Sex is a funny name. It's funny because it just goes against all of his other kind of cheeky names.
It's just so on the nose, which I think is also the point. I think,
like, let's do something basic.
Like, this conversation in itself is the point.
Shall we?
Yeah.
Transition.
I'm so excited.
Dude, I'm so pumped. I remember Marissa reached out to us in August just saying, like, something's coming.
Yeah.
Doing a collab with Universal Flowering. And I was like, shut up.
Yeah.
We need to know about it.
Yes.
And now it is out. Kumamina is a perfumer collab between Marissa and Courtney of Universal Flowering.
I feel like it's like the two darlings of fragrance right now, like coming together.
Yes.
And because we know that they're friends and they have a relationship. Mm-hmm. Like, that's pretty public knowledge if you know anything about fragrance or keep an eye on the girlies. But yeah, I'm really excited to hear about this collaboration. I love that the collaboration's happening because I feel like they're both at their current peak. I'm sure they're only going to go up from here, but it's so cool to see them come together at this juncture.
It's really cool. I went to their little opening launch party a couple of weeks ago in Chinatown. There's two scents, Odette and Odile. It's like a black swan and a white swan.
Odette and Odile. Okay.
I forget the references. It's like on the tip of my tongue, but obviously they will explain it in our interview, which we will be getting to.
Yes.
Right now.
This is very exciting because this is our first return guest. Yep. Am I right, Sable?
Yep.
Sometimes I just say things and hope they're true. Welcome back to the show.
Yeah.
If you both want to just start us off by introducing yourselves and saying who you are and what you do.
Yeah. Marissa, why don't you start?
My name is Marissa Zappas, and I'm an independent perfumer in New York. And I am Courtney Rathews, an independent perfumer living in Toronto.
Nice. We got all of North America right here.
Coast to coast.
And what do you both smell like today?
I smell like this Nukes. I think that's how you pronounce it. Nukes lotion.
Oh, I know what you mean. Like N-U-X-E.
Yeah. And I don't really buy any type of scented product, but I just actually normally use cumin seed oil and whatever. But I was at the airport and I was in duty free and I had 50 euros in cash that I have to spend this before I leave. So I got this Nukes honey lotion, and also it's like a facial wash and a body wash. I just went crazy, and it's really such an interesting smell because it doesn't smell like honey, but it has that honey muskiness and it's very floral, and it's not something I normally would wear, but I'm really enjoying it.
Oh, that sounds so nice.
Is it the glittery one, Marissa?
No, that's I think that's the oil or the perfume or something. Yeah. This is like a lotion and a body wash and like a facial wash.
That's like the fancy chic French pharmacy brand.
Ooh.
Yes, I love all the French pharmacy brands.
Me knowing absolutely nothing about it. It sounds beautiful though.
I just love the idea of you like being like coated in a glittery lotion at home.
This is the skin of a killer.
Courtney, you can make me that.
I will happily. I will glitter bomb you. I'm not really sure what I smell like, as you all know.
Oh, fuck.
But I bought myself a lotion too recently. And like Marissa, I don't normally do that, but I bought the Perfuma Roma Confetto body lotion.
I love
Confetto so much, but the lotion smells exactly like the perfume, which is rare. And I have been putting that on every single day.
Nice.
I love that. I'm not familiar with it.
Hmm. I feel like body lotions, though, are just getting more and more intense in their scents.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is like a don't put all over your body kind of lotion. Yeah. Like, I don't know what would happen if I did that.
Just like, why am I car sick suddenly?
Yeah, right. We're so excited to have you both on the show today. I'm excited about everything that you're doing, specifically on your own, both together. Mm-hmm. I don't know even where to start, Sable.
Okay, so we're here to talk about your collab brand, Guma Mina. I know this is like a big question, but like, how did that come about? Like, how did you guys meet and then decide to make a perfume brand together?
I guess I'll try and answer that first. We met on Instagram, I would say, I don't know, a couple of years ago. I think we just started following each other. And I don't even remember the trajectory. I don't think we were DMing all the time or anything, but we eventually were DMing and realized slowly. I think I actually might have asked her a question about sourcing or bottles or something, just because there really aren't a lot of options for perfumers in terms of ordering smaller quantities. Like, there aren't a ton of bottle options, cap options, like when you're ordering small quantities like we are. And I don't even remember exactly what I asked her, but I asked her something. And then we realized that we were really going through a lot of the same, I guess I want to say, like, growing pains in terms of our business. But I think we're both doing a lot and we're both really having to figure things out. And so it was just really nice to have someone who understood. And then eventually we got on the phone and I think we just really liked each other immediately. And like, we're like, I think it was like our first conversation on the phone where I don't even remember who brought it up first, but we were just like, yeah, we should collab. Like, it was just sort of a,
Oh, I kind of remember we were like commiserating about something. I think it was like getting close to the holidays and we were it'd be so, I think, like having that conversation about those like fear moments where you're like, oh, I'm losing the plot a little bit and I'm like not having fun. And we talked about like just working on something together that was purely creative and fun, like not necessarily with an idea to like make a product to sell, but like just as a like,
yeah,
when things slow down, let's just have some fun together and like work on something sort of idea. Mm-hmm. And then we just went forward from that.
That's interesting. Yeah. And not to like completely spiral immediately, but do you, when you are independent creative and you're running a small business, do you think is the cause of that feeling of losing the plot? Is it just the hustle of doing everything all at once, all day long, every day, or something?
So I think things can get repetitive and a bit monotonous, and also just the like pressure every day to, you want to work on something that is enriching, but you have all these other things that you need to do far more than that. And it's hard to make the space for it sometimes. Mm-hmm. Or like even like when you do have the time to do that, you're maybe not in the right headspace, et cetera. Like you're just not, like those moments need to come naturally, I think.
Totally.
I think it's just the inherent danger of turning your passion into your full-time job. And I think a lot of artists struggle with this. And I mean, in a way, it's a blessing because we actually have work to do. But it's also just, it's really, Courtney and I are both sort of one woman shows where we're doing everything, like from just everything. Mm-hmm. I personally work 7 days a week. It's really nonstop. And so I think the creative stuff that got us into it in the first place takes a seat behind. Sorry, I'm very inarticulate today. I'm sick. But
not at all,
our brains have all taken a seat behind.
Yeah, our brains. Exactly. So yeah, I think Courtney and I are both just like determined. We really wanted to do something for pure pleasure and to really try and bring the spark back a little bit. Not that like it was really lost. It was just, I think it was a moment where we both felt like it was a little bit.
Yeah.
So not to state like the complete obvious, but you two are some of the biggest names in fragrance right now. And you're so beloved from the fragrance community. So seeing you come together is really fucking exciting. I feel like there's so much happening all the time in fragrance and everyone's competing with everyone. And I think people could see you two in opposition. So seeing you come together to create this beautiful brand is so exciting. After you decided to pull the trigger on this and start going down this road, what did that collaboration look like? Can you walk us through that?
Yeah, I think to speak to the sort of the thing you said about competition, I think that, like I said before, I think Courtney and we just like each other so much. That was never really a thing. And I think, I don't know, I've said this before to her, but I feel like at this point, our friendship to me is even, it's more important than Gumamina. Yeah, so there's that. And then I think the process was really like slow in the beginning. There was a lot of, we really like, again, this project for us was really just about joy and pleasure. And there was no, like, we literally didn't have a timeline until before we launched. We were like, okay, I guess we're launching now. So really wanted to take everything that was stressful about our businesses and the process of creating a perfume and kind of throw it to the sidelines. So we really just took our time. And so there are two formulas, obviously Odette and Odile. And Courtney started one and I started the other. I started Odile and she started Odette. And we did that because we knew that we wanted Odile to be like heavier and richer and muskier and Odette to be more like rose orisy. And we felt like my signature was more in the rose orris category and hers was like more in the musky, like smoky category. So we just thought it would be fun to switch that. Mm-hmm. And
oh,
so,
cool.
Yeah, because I was like, yeah, I want to work more on the sort of smoky side to think. So I started Odile and she started Odette. And then basically we switched formulas. We shared the formulas with each other. And then I made edits to Odette. She made edits to Odile. And then we switched again. And then I think that was it. There was only like the three back and forths. And yeah, she can speak more to this, but I was personally just like really blown away. It really broke my brain. I used to work at Givaudan and And that gym perfumers constantly work with each other. Even if there's only one perfumer's name behind a formula, likely there were five other set of eyes on it, or even just two. And it's so invaluable. It's like writing and not having any type of editor. And having worked by myself for these years, like I hadn't worked with another perfumer like this. It really blew my mind. I think that these are actually some of the best formulas that I've ever done. And it was because she helped me with them. We helped each, I mean, it was like, it was just so cool. Like whenever I smell them, I'm just like, wow, we really did this. And so, yeah, that's what I have to say about that.
It is true. It's just like when we're finalizing the formulas, we were both just freaking out constantly about them. And I think that's also where it became a much larger project, because we were just like, holy fuck, look what we've created together. It's insane. And I think we were just both so excited by it that like it needed a larger type of release, as opposed to like doing something more like short run, like collaborative, releasing through our own platforms. Like we're like, no, this needs its own name.
This is something else.
Yeah. It's something else entirely. Like we've created like a new like superpower and we need to do something else with it. But it's true. It's just like working together, like, yeah, mind blowing. Like it changes your entire perspective about the way that you work in a very like beautiful way. And working with Marissa was just so validating and exciting to me. And our friendship aside, it's truly the best work that I think I've ever done as well. And I've gotten this amazing like relationship with this person out of it as well. And it's been really just like a joy.
That's awesome.
Oh, I love
hearing about creative collaborations.
Yeah.
Because I feel like in any creative field, you can only benefit from working with people you admire.
Yeah.
Or even, not to say that this is you guys, but like even people you might be like a little intimidated by, like you can only benefit from like sharing knowledge. I feel like culturally, that's not really the attitude.
Right.
People are like, so protective of that, but it just makes the work so much better.
So much better. It's just, and I feel like our styles just like also complemented each other really well, which was helpful. And then also because we're so close, there's like a very open channel of communication. So it was just such a organic process. And I can't imagine how we would never like not continue doing this. It's just, it's too good.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like, how did you decide on the dual theme of Odette and Odile?
I think we came up with it like we talked about it, the first conversation that we had. We wanted to do something where there were two separate formulas. And yeah, I think swans right now are also happen to just be like really in. But we just like, ever since, we just keep seeing swans everywhere.
Yeah, it's very coquette vibes.
Swans are
very
hot.
Coquette. Yeah. I think Courtney and I, it's funny because it is definitely coquette vibes, but we're like, I think we have some pretty strange and wild ideas coming. But of course, we had to open with something that was very sweet.
Highly palatable.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But I think moving forward, the perfumes will be maybe a little bit less sweet. Maybe not. Who knows? We actually don't know what we're doing next, but
the world is your oyster.
The world is our oyster. Yeah,
I think swans just open. They're like just opening the gate, and also
the curtain.
Yeah, opening the curtain, and it was also like a very easy way for us to like, this wasn't intentional from the start, but like to begin a project together. It's like a very clear, simple format, like or simple idea kind of way to go about it.
Yeah.
But now that we know that we're both completely insane, things are going to get a little bit more unhinged, probably.
Oh my god, I'm so excited for that.
I think we're just both going to really lean into our dynamic.
Nice.
And create some pretty exciting stuff.
I love that. I'm sorry if I missed it somewhere along the line, but can you talk about the name Gumamina? Where did that come from?
Well, it's a made up word.
I love that.
had been talking about, actually, Marissa, I love the way you tell it.
Okay, I don't even remember how I tell it, but I'll tell it.
You just tell it really well.
Okay, because I love it so much. Okay, so Courtney was in town. It was over the summer, and sort of these just like really fun, random things kept happening. Like her rental car was like upgraded to a Mustang convertible. Gosh. And nice. We were both just kind of, I don't know, in a wild place. Like I think part of our friendship is riffing a lot and feeling and getting inspired by everything. So we were actually one afternoon driving in the rented Ford Mustang to Tatiana in Brighton Beach and doing that thing where, you know, like you're driving and you just keep like naming signs and things. And we were listening to Mina, the Italian singer, on the radio and or on not on the radio on Britney Spotify. Like, what is this, like 1995? I mean, it did kind of feel like 1995.
It really did.
And so we said Mina, and then like, I don't know, this sounds crazy to, but anyway, so we get to Brighton Beach and we park and we're like walking to the beach and there's this dumpster with Guma tagged on it. And I looked at the dumpster and I got this like shockwave of something. And I just looked at her and I was like, Guma Mina. It like beamed down to me. I was like, Guma Mina. And then she just started saying Guma Mina. And we just both started saying Guma Mina, Guma Mina, Guma Mina. And then we like got to the beach and it just became, I think by the end of that day.
It became real so fast.
It became real, really fast. And by the end of that day, we were just like, yep, this is Guma Mina. This project is Guma Mina. And maybe Courtney can talk more about this, but Guma Mina very quickly became apparent that she was like our joint brain, but also
our baby,
but also sort of our mother. She's who we aspire to be. Like when we started to make decisions for this, we would say, what would Guma Mina do? And we, and then whatever that answer was, and Guma Mina does stuff that we don't necessarily do yet, but it's like, she's sort of a goddess. She's sort of our guiding light in a way. I know this sounds crazy, but I think we both, for example, especially I think last year more so than now, but when we have clients, we have to be firm with our rates and all of this stuff. And I think Guma Mina sort of, like Courtney's like, well, what would Guma Mina charge? And, I'd be like $25,000. Like just Guma Mina is who we want to be. And she's made up and she's outside of us, but she's also us. And it's, instead of saying like, thank God, I say, thank you, Mina.
Wow. Yeah. Today, thank Guma Mina for daytime cold medication.
Exactly.
Wow. I love that. It's like old world witchy. Uh-huh. And I feel like a spell.
Yeah, it feels like, I think my favorite way to describe it to people is like when you go over to a friend's family house and they call their grandmother something insane, but you don't question it. You're just like, absolutely, I will also call you that.
Yeah.
That's so funny. Yeah. I love that.
That's
like, it just feels like this wonderful matriarch.
Yeah.
Love that. She's also giving Baba Yaga, like, but Courtney and I from the beginning we were like, she's like an older Spanish or Italian mother in an Almodovar movie that's like I don't know, she's not Rossi De Palma, but she has that energy a little bit.
Rossi De Palma meets Steve Buscemi.
Yeah. Now that I know it's like a name of a person or an entity, it just feels so much more whole to me.
Yeah, it really does. Mm-hmm. Can I ask like a boring logistics question, as I so often do? The bottle design, I know we touched on the swans, but it's just, it's cool to me because I know we joked about like Coquette Core, but it's current and classic in a way that I really love and feels very both true to the both of you and a true marriage of your aesthetics. But I think the swan caps are so elegant and so striking at the same time. And I know that custom molds and things like that aren't easy to come by in fragrance. Can you just walk us through, not like the ordering process, but that the process of how you got that decision and how maybe the design happened and everything? Because it's so defining, I think is what I'm trying to say. Yeah. Like, so like immediately you're like, oh, that's Guma Mina. Yeah. So I would just love to know how you got there.
I think like when we decided to go forward with making this, again, coming from a desire of wanting to create something truly for us, something really that we were excited about. And we were like, let's just go all the way and get custom caps done for it. And then we got really excited about it. And luckily, Marissa knew somebody who...
I knew a guy who knows a guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We have a guy that knows a guy, and we're able to get the swans put together.
So I do just want to shout out to Anna Bain, who was our designer and illustrator and artist who worked with us on this project. And it was shortly after Courtney came to New York over the summer. I just got a cold email from this woman who said that she was an artist and designer. And I clicked on her work and I just looked at it and I was like, oh my God,
that's good.
This is Gumamina. And I had no connection to her, no mutuals. I didn't know who she was. And I just sent it in. I just sent it to Courtney and I was like, I think this person just cold emailed me and I think this is it. And Courtney was like, yeah, I think that's it too. And I responded and she really, it truly felt like a gift from Gumamina, if I'm honest. Yeah. Like we could not have done this without Anna.
No.
Yeah. So
she truly nailed, like, without, like, basically without any hard direction, we just immediately trusted her too, which was really nice. It was just so immediate and obvious that she was going to nail it. And she did. The artwork came together so quickly because we were just like, just go to it. And she came back with perfect stuff every single time. Like, it was just like her aesthetic matched what we honestly, we would not have been able to verbalize what we needed to anybody.
No.
And she got it so instantly.
Yeah, I just remembered you sent her some random Picavia images and a few other things, but she really just fucking did it.
That's so cool.
Yeah, I'm looking at her page right now, and it's like, as soon as I saw her page with the primary colors and like the color grade, that's Gumamina.
Yeah, that's Gumamina. Yeah.
Maybe Anna's Gumamina. I don't know.
Oh my God, Anna is totally Gumamina. Wow.
So did she also have a hand in like helping you design the cap?
No. The caps were my friend Harris Rosenberg or Harris Rosenblum. I think it's Harris Rosenberg. He is a 3D designer and I just worked with him on another project last year that hasn't come out yet. But he also designed like perfume bottles and stuff. And and that was his first time to doing anything perfume related. And he had said to me, look, I can try and make something happen. And so I reached out to him with Gumamina and he really pulled through. Actually, Courtney and I, we sent him swans. We just sent him swans.
A glass swan that I got at a yard sale a few days prior. And I just sent him a photo because we're like, this is the shape. Like, we liked the idea of it not being super intricate and being like rubber ducky looking. Mm-hmm. Actually, someone called them marzipan swans. And I was like, they are little marzipan swans. Yeah.
But like, Harris
wanted something very simple and he made them perfectly.
That's so cool. It's just, it feels like this all came together so organically and perfectly, divinely almost for the both of you. That's really amazing and so cool to hear.
Yeah. I attended the launch party and I was able to smell the scents.
I was not able to because I was drowning. So I'm happy one of us did.
But they're so good. I always forget which swan is which. So the black swan is Odile?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. I got it. So Odile is the kind of like deeper, more leathery, musky scent, if I remember correctly. Yeah. And that was really great. And I was like, oh, this to me, like my first impression was like, oh, yeah, I can totally see this in the universal flowering blueprint behind this. And then Odette, the white swan, had this. It was like a bit lighter, a little bit more citrusy. It had this like electric rhubarb note to it that just grabbed me. I'm drawn to anything rhubarb, but like that rhubarb note like really had me. And I was obsessed with it. I still have the blotters. They were like crunched up in my coat pocket, but I still have them on my desk. And they last so long.
They do.
I can still smell them on the blotters.
Yeah.
The dry down is different, but it's still, I don't know if they get better or they're obviously like perfume dries down and it smells different. But like the way it dries down, I think is like even more surprising and pleasant for me. Because at first I was like, I was like the black swan. I'm definitely the black swan. And then as it went on, I was like, wait a minute, maybe I'm the white swan.
Yeah, I think they're, I mean, Odette for me was like my first, Odette we actually got quicker than Odile. And I think Courtney and I were both just shocked at like how fun Odette is to wear. And it's such a, for me, it's such a sparkling grapefruit. Scent in the beginning, it really has this sort of 90s, I think, mall. It actually smells, it smelled to me like 7-Up really strongly in the beginning. There's something very sort of effervescent about it. Yeah. And then with that rhubarb more in the heart, like it takes it to a little bit of a weirder place. But then the base, and but then it also so it has that rose still to bring it all together and make it still feel elegant despite the strangeness. And then what has Boris and all of that at the base. So I think despite the sort of lightness of it is, like you said, it does have this kind of tremendous longevity, which I think is really cool.
Yeah. And it doesn't projects. Go. Yeah. And it doesn't turn. I find with a lot of lighter, airier fragrances like that, the base or the dry down ends up just either smelling like musk or whatever the base notes are. But I feel like the sparkly notes of it really, they just, they stay all the way through. It feels like they're all really anchored.
It becomes like a little like silky and velvety on me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
How did you come? Did you always know the names were going to be Odette and Odile, or how did that come about?
Yeah, I think like when we had come to the conclusion that we're going to do the Swan Lake perfumes, that it made sense for it to be Odette and Odile.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's so cool.
Yeah.
You say that Umamina explores tragedy and grace. I would love to hear a little bit of the thought behind that and why.
I think that one of the things that kind of bonds court, like we're both passionate and like reactive, not to each other, but just like we, when something happens, we're both very Aries, very Aries heavy in our charts to those who this means something to. And at the same time, we run perfume companies. So it's, I think for me personally, really thinking about what the word grace means is important, because I can be quite like bullish and not bullish, but I'm really headstrong. I can get quite angry. And I think exploring tragedy and grace, this is my life's work in a way.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't know if that answers.
And I feel like that is the dynamic of our friendship in a lot of ways is like, because we are both very like, Marissa said, reactive and responsive, maybe.
I don't actually think we're that reactive.
No, I mean, well,
I know what you mean. Yeah. Like you have strong feelings about things.
When something happens, we're like responding to it very intensely and very quickly. And like a lot of the time, like we are more or less like talking each other off of a ledge in a very sweet way. Like we'll just be like, I'm feeling like this. It feels really intense. And then like drawing each other back and like remembering how to like basically control ourselves. And we can call that grace.
Yeah.
I don't know. And the grace we have for each other should be the grace that we give ourselves. And I think that's a Umamina lesson, the life lesson of Umamina constantly.
Do you think that's true for us, Sebo?
Maybe.
I feel like you're always.
I think it should be true for any good friendship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so.
I feel like you're always talking me off a fucking ledge. You were before we started this episode.
I'm curious because, you guys launched fairly recently in December. What's the reception been like for you guys?
Quite surprising. Not surprising, but a little bit surprising. Like, it's been really good. And we were initially like trying to build this in a way that wouldn't overwhelm us. And I wouldn't say it's overwhelmed us too much, but it's been a lot. And it's been, received really well. People are really excited about it. People got angry about it, which was fun.
Oh, because of the samples.
We pissed some people off for a minute.
But we really love our trolls. Yeah. They're really important to us.
That was also a great tragedy and grace, was like us dealing with the trolls when we were both so fucking exhausted and just being like, what do we do with this? And then we were, Marissa, we were on the phone and Marissa was like, I think we love it. That's like, I think we love it too.
What's funny?
We love it.
Is as a consumer, I'm annoyed that you didn't offer samples. But if I were in your shoes, I would also just be like, no.
Yeah.
Like, you already know the caliber of my work. Buy it or don't.
Yeah, it was real. Well, it was real bossy energy going into it. But at the same time, we were just like, we don't want to turn this into something like our, and thank God that samples exist, because it is like in many ways like the bread and butter. But we didn't need another bread and butter. We needed something that felt like joyful and something that didn't cause either of us stress. And we're happy that like Lucky Scent is doing the sampling program now for us, which is great. But like, it just felt like the only way to make it viable for both of us, like literally mentally and emotionally, was to not offer samples.
It really like wasn't coming from a place of we're not going to give you samples or we just don't feel like doing this. It really was coming from a place of actually not doing samples is the only way that we can have this project in the first place. Like we can't do samples for Guillemina. We just can't between the two of us. So if do you want the project, that do you at least want this to exist? Because we, it wouldn't be viable if we did samples. Yeah, we couldn't do it.
I also like the boss energy of it. I feel like there's only one other brand I can think of that does sample-less studio drops, like Dies and Durga. Yeah. Their shit sells out.
Yeah.
So why can't other brands?
Well, that's the thing. It's like people do this all the time. Like I didn't, like when I had time to do those like more frequent limited releases with my own brand, I didn't do samples with them because I'm like, it's a limited edition. It's like, just get it or don't.
Yeah.
But then eventually I started releasing samples when I would put them out, and the samples wouldn't really sell. People would just buy the full bottle anyway. So it's just, okay, that's a different thing that I was doing versus this. But it's just sometimes, a lot of the time, people, if they trust you, they're just going to go for it anyway.
We're not even like Dies and Durga. We don't have employees like that. Like, it's literally just us.
Yeah. There's no, if you're that beholden to the consumer, there's no way to win. Yeah. So it's nice to see you make a decision and just do it. And I respect it. And if any brand is going to do it, it's you guys. So it's exciting.
Thank you. I think we were like a little shocked by the response. But
yeah, I feel like people just don't know what goes into, people just don't,
they don't.
And it's not their fault, but it is their fault to become incredulous online. But they really just don't understand. They were like, well, why not just release a smaller bottle? And it's because having more than one format is the same fucking thing. Yeah.
Like, it's all expense.
And I think it's like at the end of the day, I don't know if people forget, but Courtney and I are, at the end of the day, just two very sensitive artists putting our work out there. And it's just, I don't know. It's crazy. I've never really had people get upset at me before online. It was bound to happen at some point, but
it means you're doing something right.
We made it.
Yes.
Totally.
Also, like, this is, I know it's like you produce and sell a consumer good, but perfume is also an art. So at least with all of it, I see it's just, you're selling art. You don't ask an artist for a sample of their art. That's weird.
Yeah, that is how I feel.
Yeah.
The sample culture has gotten out of control. It's out of control.
It's all out of control.
I just think like consumer culture, everyone's used to just being catered to because it's such a competitive market, but when you are buying something from an artisan, it's not going to be the same experience. And
totally. It was so weird to see people like using language, like they were upset about cheese prices. And I'm just like, babe, who are you angry at? You are not angry at us. Yeah. I get to displace the anger. I do. But I'm just like, come on, this is not the venue.
No. I'm so happy that we got you both on the show today, even especially in your less than healthy state. So thank you for joining us. But I was so excited to talk to you both, and I'm so excited about the project. So I just want to say thank you for sharing your time with us and your inspiration and everything.
Absolutely. And tell the listeners where they can find Guillemina.
At guillemina.com and through Lucky Scent.
Beautiful.
And I'm working on perhaps having, just because it's a little harder the Canadians with the exchange rate, of having at least tester bottles somewhere in Toronto where people can smell them in person.
Nice.
Nice. Mm, amazing. Okay.
All right.
Cool.
We're working the borders.
Yeah.
I think also Scent Bar in New York.
Oh,
yeah. They actually, they do have bottles for testing.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Because Scent Bar and Lucky Scent are the same company.
They're the same. Yeah. Yes. Scent Bar is their storefront.
Yes.
I love that. Oh, that's where we met, Marissa. That's exactly. Where I first met you. Oh,
yeah.
Memories.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much, you guys, for your time.
Speedy recovery, too.
Yeah, seriously.
Thank you. Thank you.
Talk to you both soon.
Get some rest.
Bye. Okay.
Bye. Bye. Girls.
The girls.
Or should I say women? Friendship.
When things happen because of friendship.
Same. Like this podcast.
Like this podcast. I have been thinking a lot about friendship lately. A, because of the aforementioned Blue Zone documentary, which credits friendship and having a community.
Yes.
As a thing that keeps you alive and enriches your life.
Yeah.
Also, I just wrote a piece for The Guardian about friendship. I'm thinking about friendship a lot.
Wait, has it gone?
No, it's sometime in January. We'll see. But
read Sable shit too.
Oh my God. Or Titan will yell at you. I love that.
I was so excited for this episode, yeah. And it did not. What are the girls saying right now? It does not owe me anything.
Is that what the girls are saying?
Kinda. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
It doesn't. No, it doesn't.
Okay. It did not leave me wanting anything.
Truly, I was very pleased.
Yeah.
With that. That is. It's so funny because I remember reading about like the sample backlash.
Yeah.
And in my head, I was like, "Oh, damn!" Like I wanted to order samples, but at the same time, I'm like. Because we know them, I was like, I know it's just the two of you, like in your apartment/studios, having to package everything and how exhausting that would be to send tiny little vials to hundreds of people.
It's like they're not Estee Lauder. Leave them fuck alone.
Yeah.
You know, it's I don't know. It's just people forget that brands, not me defending a brand, but like brands like this, they are run by actual people.
Yeah.
They're not conglomerates. They don't have investors and advisory boards and all this shit.
They don't have a staff.
It's yeah, exactly. They're fucking people. Leave them alone. If it's so important to you, then buy the fucking fragrance or shut up.
Also, again, I'm like, as a consumer, I'm annoyed, but as an artist, I totally respect that decision because I would absolutely do the same thing.
Yeah, that's the thing. This perfume isn't art. These are artists and this is a work of art. Not that a bigger perfume is any less valid, but we're just not talking about the same shit. If you want a sample, go to Macy's.
It's different. Or apparently go to Lucky Scent.
Or go to Lucky Scent. God.
I mean,
leave the girls alone.
Leave the girls alone. Don't be mean to the girls.
You know what I mean? Well, don't ruin a good thing. Don't bite the hand that feeds you. That, listen, 2024, that Fragrantica comment section can implode. And take everyone with it. Sorry, I'm under a lot of stress.
And like when you think of things in that in terms of this is a work of art, I think that shifts the mindset. So you're not like, you're not catering to me and my wants so I can possibly give you money for purchase.
Exactly. And you know what the best thing is about perfume as art is you don't have to pay to get it framed.
Mm, that's real. Why is framing so expensive?
I don't want to talk about it, nor do I want to tell you what I just paid to get something framed.
Oh my God. I've only ever gotten cheap frames with the acrylic glass bit, not actual frames, because who fucking cares? It's me and my rinky-dink apartment.
I cared, and I will never care again. I learned my lesson.
There's things I'm willing to pay for, and there are things I'm not willing to pay for, and framing is one of them.
Then I did it in person, of course. So she quoted me, and I was like, I'm standing in front of you. I have to say yes.
Fuck's sake, no. But why is it? Why?
I don't know.
As a consumer, I'm enraged.
That's one of those things that's I'm not going to do it myself, so you can just tell me whatever, and I'm going to believe you.
Give me a flippity floppity plexiglass. I don't care. No one's going to know.
Anyway, support Greenpoint Frames. And support Gumamina, goddammit.
Yeah. I really like that it's like a person. That just makes so much more sense to me now. Because at first I was like, huh?
It was one of those things that I was afraid to say out loud because I was like, I'm going to botch it. But for once, I didn't. But yeah, the way that they talked about it, I just love like its origin story, the name and the brand and how it sort of like birthed itself and became something like it. I don't know.
It reminded me a lot of like when I was little. And I had my childhood bestie and we would just make shit up and get so invested in it.
Yeah.
And we would just create our own little world. And that's what I thought of. And I'm like, that's amazing.
Yeah.
More play.
More world building.
Yeah. More world building. I think that's what we need.
Sable's building. Can I? I'm leaving that in. Sable's Building a World. Die Hot with a Vengeance, out July 2024.
Oh my gosh.
Is it July?
It is July.
Hey!
If everything goes to plan.
1 out of 12.
Seven months? 6 months? 7 months from now, I will be shilling the shit out of this book. And I hope you like it. I genuinely can't tell if it's good or not because I have rewritten it 5 times and read it 80 times.
When can I read it?
As soon as I get galleys, which actually should be pretty soon.
Sick.
I will send you an unapproved galley.
Okay.
Yeah. I was thinking this because I'm like really dreading the promo process. I'm like, I don't care if you read it. I care that you buy it. You could use it as a coaster for all I fucking care as long as you buy it.
Yeah.
That's all that matters to me.
Yes.
If you can't read it, you can't say it's bad.
We don't have a Patreon for everyone's benefit.
No.
We do have a line of merch. But we what do. I'm saying is this is a free production and it will stay that way. And we're happy to create free content for you.
Always.
However, buy her goddamn book. Do you hear me?
I feel like a giveaway with the fragrance. Am I allowed to do that? I don't know. I have to talk to my publisher, but I got ideas. I got ideas brewing. We'll see what happens. Either way, I'm really excited for the perfume that I'm making with the book.
Yes.
Which also my publisher doesn't know about, so I'll probably have to talk to them.
Well.
It is funny trying to work with a very corporate publishing house and being like, so here are my ideas. And they're like, politely and HRE telling me in ways of just, let's think of something else. And I'm like, no.
What can you say? What ideas they shot?
I had a preliminary question email where I was like, hey, do we have a budget for merch, like promo materials? I had some apparel ideas. I had a fragrance idea. And they were like very politely, oh, wow, that sounds so exciting. Let's table this and talk about this later. And I was like, so no. And I'm like, I already put in the deposit. Oh, it's a tax write-off.
Life's
anyway,
a learning process.
I was going to do it anyway. I don't care. But whatever. It would have been cool if I had a budget, but who cares? Who cares? Who knows? You can find us at our website, smellyoulater.live, where you can leave us a voice note. Please leave us a voice note. We like them very much. And you can find our merch, which has some very cozy sweatshirts and t-shirts. And follow us on Instagram at smellyoulater.mp3. I am at Sabletooth Tigra.
I'm at Tynan Buck. And until next time, we will smell you later.